What is that? Hey, Liz, good morning.
Hi, Ryan, how are you?
What's the story?
Oh, I just think it's all crazy, isn't it? The whole Facebook, Twitter, anonymous relationships, really.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. Lots of
people. I was actually just saying about that that documentary, Catfish, as well. That's what I had initially texted in about. And it just showed the story of this guy unravelling a whole web of lies as well with a relationship with somebody who seemed perfect in his eyes.
Tell everyone the story of Catfish, will you? Please.
I forget how they actually started the whole communication, but there was an 11-year-old little girl involved, and mm-hmm. she was supposed to be this hugely talented artist. And this guy, I think, was an amateur documentary maker, and he really liked the art and stuff like that. And he decided to, you know, get in contact with the little girl and see, you know, could he do anything to help her with her career and whatever. And he had telephone conversations with the little girl. He had telephone conversations with the mother and everything. And then it turned out she had this really attractive older sister, which he developed a communication with as well. And he had Facebook relationship with her. There was all different photographs of her doing this, doing that. There was photographs of her in a stables and, you know, showing a whole house and everything. And she's moving into it and she's going to do it up. And he's wanting to meet her, and she's, oh yeah, I wish I could. Now this on phone and everything, this is. And she's going to meet him, and then she fobs him off with some kind of story. So he decides he's going to go and he's going to track her down. So he goes to the area where she lives and where there was actually an art gallery opening for the little girl. And he wants to go along to that. He went along and seen that it was a derelict building that nobody has owned in years and years. He went to the ranch that the girl, the older girlfriend type relationship he was having with her, and he found there was even mail, I think, that he had sent to her, still in the mailbox, but nobody had lived in the house for a long time.
Yeah.
So eventually, I forget how he tracked this lady down, but he tracked her down, and the 11-year-old girl existed, all right, and he was trying to speak to her, but she seemed to have absolutely no interest in him, even though she had had conversations with him before and was really keen to chat to him or whatever, and he was looking at her drawing and stuff like that, and she just didn't seem to be as talented as the art that had been sent to him because she had sent him presents and stuff. And he was going along with his friend, and they were both thinking, oh, something funny about this, because there was actually a song. The reason they had thought it was a fake, actually, I forgot about that, was that this girl, the older sister, had been sending him music and saying she's writing this music and whatever, and they recognised the tune and Googled it, and it was an old tune.
Yeah, I mean, it all unravelled, didn't it?
It was unreal.
Unreal.
But it was actually a really sad story then in the end, because it was just, the lady was just really sad in her life, sad and bored, and felt, I think, that she had kind of wasted her life because there was a disabled son there, and she felt, I think she felt really put upon. I could see it from both sides, that it was sad, but...
But you'd want to be pretty sad to go to that much trouble to deceive a whole heap of people.
Exactly,
to look for that much attention. Are you on Facebook, Twitter, any of the above? Or?
I'm not, no, not at all.
No? Do you feel your life is lacking?
No, because I do actually have face-to-face communication.
Wow.
I don't really feel I need to document every single second in my life.
Do you have real friends?
I do, and I actually see them face-to-face, and I would actually even touch them every now and then.
And how many likes do you think you have? How many
Not
people
many,
like you?
To be honest. Not many.
You only need 3 or 4, don't you?
But now I would go on, the odd time I'd go on my husband's, but the stuff that, it's just so inane and boring. I mean, come on, I really don't need to know if someone is going for a walk. And he's got some friends that will just put up random, like, I love my children so much. And
well, it does seem to be a great competition to prove how much you love your children. And I think in some cases, look, we shouldn't be too cynical. Some people love to share and think it's a nice way of keeping in touch and keeping the love alive.
It's great for
international people
and stuff like that. Exactly, yeah. You know. But if I'm sitting on the couch with my husband, I'd have an actual conversation with him rather than... I love you so much. Oh, I love you too. I like you. I like you too.
Oh, I've banned Facebook from the couch. No one's allowed near computers on the couch.
It's really good for distance. I think it is really good. But I think you just have to be so careful with strangers getting involved. And I mean, it's adults involved in these stories. But people with children are letting their children go on here. And there's nothing to stop the exact same thing happening. To be a little bit more sinister, you know?
It's a true story, Liz, and thanks for sharing that tale of catfish with us. Appreciate it.
Okay. Nice talking to you. For anyone. You too.
Take it easy.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
Well, you were listening to me talking to Gina earlier.
I was indeed, yeah.
And this tale of extraordinary and immense cyber deception.
Yes. Now, mine is something on the similar lines. Okay. And it was somebody we actually knew. And had met in person and everything, but this particular girl, she was friends of friends of mine, and I'd met her through all the girls I was friends with, and she had a bit of a falling out with one of the girls in the group, and she lived away down in Kerry, and we lived up here, and I've been talking to her that weekend and hadn't heard from her in a few days. And then I was actually getting my hair cut and I got a text message on my phone saying, "Hi, this is Mary's sister here. Mary's after having a massive stroke. She's not in the best of way. Just thought I'd let you know." Of course, I got very upset and I was wondering why the rest of the girls hadn't rang me or told me this was after happening to her. Excuse me. And so I rang the rest of the girls and I said, "Did you hear about this?" And they said, yeah, we thought you. I thought she would have, you know, her family would have contacted you like to have with us. And I said, "No, I'm only after hearing about today." Excuse me.
That's okay.
And so anyway, I immediately tried to ring Mary's sister. She was using Mary's phone and there was no answer. So immediately after that, then I got a text message back stating, "Look, sorry, I can't talk to you now. We're in the hospital with Mary and I will ring you this evening." So I said, "Fine." I was very upset and worried about
it. Of course you were.
So the evening went on and got no text message back. So I texted again to see, "Look, how is she?" And next minute it was Mary's sister again texting through her Mary's phone. And so she said, "Look, she's not doing too good and we're all very worried about her and everything else." So I was in contact with the rest of the girls saying, "God, this is shocking. You know, we should maybe go down and see her." So I text back to say, "Look, if she's up to it, maybe on Friday we'll head down to Kerry to see her. And, you know, we'd all like to see her and everything else." So anyway, to cut a long story short, the text messages started to get very strange then. And it was like, "Well, I don't know now if she's up for visitors and everything. Maybe if you leave it for a few more days." And we said, "Fine, fair enough." So I thought things weren't adding up because I kept trying to ring her phone and her sister would never talk to me. And, you know, and I thought this was a bit more serious than to be texting over her phone about.
Yeah, there's only so much texting you should ever do anyway. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm not the best with the text messaging anyway.
Okay.
So anyway, what I did was I said to the girls, and I'm very suspicious anyway of people.
Okay.
And I said to the girls, I said, "Look, I'm going to ring the hospital and I'm going to ask myself, how is she?" So I rang the hospital in Kerry and they had no such person. "No, we've no Mary here."
Oh.
"No lot." And I said to her, "God, are you sure?" And said, yeah. And I explained to the girl, a lovely woman on reception, and she says, "I think someone's playing a very sick joke on you."
Gosh.
And I said, "Oh, no. I said, "No, maybe I have my wires crossed."
Yeah.
So I think there's two hospitals down in Kerry anyway, because when I text back her sister said, "Oh, no, you've the wrong one. It's this one." So I immediately got on the phone and rang the other hospital. No, I was told the same thing. No such person here. So when I text back the sister, she said, "Look, we have her under a false name in hospital because we don't want family coming in and bothering her and everything else,
yeah.
You know, to be all in and eyeing her." So actually what I did then is I rang her workplace to see how she was.
Hmm.
And I got talking to a lady on the phone. But when I got off the phone, I rang the rest of the girls and I said, "I got talking to a lady on the phone, but it sounded very like Mary on the phone. Really sounded like her.
And what had that lady said to you?
She said to me, that she didn't know how ill she was in hospital and it'd be best now that the family are very protective of her and it'd be best now that you all take a step back and leave well enough alone and everything else. So this rang big alarm bells.
Well, you're convinced that was her.
Yeah, I was convinced, you know, because I'd know her voice.
Yeah.
But then with the Kerry accent, I suppose they all sort of sound a bit the same, you know, this type of thing.
Go on.
And so I said to the girls, "No, there's something not adding up here. There really isn't."
Yeah.
And I said, "Why won't her sister talk to me on the phone? Why does everything have to be over a text message?" So it gone from her being seriously ill to next month, all of a sudden, I got a phone call from Mary herself on Friday. And, oh, yeah, I'm in here now in the hospital. And, oh, yeah, and she was there pretending away to be talking to the nurses. Yeah, thank you, that's great. Now. And I was thinking,
oh, good Lord.
Yeah, and I was under the line on the phone to her, and I said, oh, right. And then I got off, and I started to start doubting myself, and I felt awful for being suspicious then. Yeah. And I rang back the girls, because the girls were all saying, like you were saying to the other ladies more, like Miss Marple, I was determined to get to the end of this because things weren't adding up for me. So I said to her, look, Mary, we're all going to head down and see you at the weekend. She sound good enough form to have visitors and everything. Oh, I have to go now. Goodbye now, and I'll chat to you later. Straight away cut off the phone.
Hmm.
So then it went back to all text messages.
Oh, yeah.
And it said that she said then she had been moved from that hospital in Kerry to a hospital in Cork for rehabilitation.
Right.
So I said, but look, I said, I don't mind driving to Cork. That's near to home again. You know, that's fine. And no, we can't have any visitors now at the minute. So I said to the girls, right, enough of this. I said, this girl is not sick. And I said, she's sick in a different kind of way.
Yeah, for sure.
And so what I did is I got on Facebook straight away and I emailed her sister on Facebook. And with that then, it went from being nice to being very nasty. And it's, how dare you email my sister on Facebook?
Well, did the sister get back in touch?
Yes. Now, the way I just left email on Facebook was, hi, is everything okay with Mary? We're very concerned about her up here. We've just heard about a bit of bad news.
Yeah.
And the sister emailed me back and she said, Mary's here very distraught, saying that you won't leave her alone and that you're annoying her a lot.
Uh-oh.
And so I just emailed back and I said, look, it's not that situation at all. I said, I think you really need to talk to your sister. And now I emailed her supposed boyfriend, as she told us all as well. He was on Facebook. I emailed him to see, was there any truth behind it as well? And he emailed back to say that, look, he didn't even know her. He only knew her through Facebook.
No, it's like a movie again. It's just people become fantasists.
Well, like I had this girl in my home. I had her around my kids. Now, I met her through the rest of the girls, and one of the girls had been friends with her for many, many years.
Yeah.
But what was the outcome of it was, at the end, was she'd fallen out with this girl that she'd been so good friends with for so many years, and the other girl just completely drew a line underneath her. She felt that she was getting too possessive of her, too in her business the whole time, and she said, look, I'm cutting all contact. I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
And I think she was desperately trying to get the other girl to break the silence between them, and maybe she thought, well, I'll fabricate this story about me being ill, and it has to be a big illness, so therefore then she might, you know, ring me and we'll get back talking again.
Gosh.
But the other girl stuck to her guns on it all and said, well, look, she's ill, I'm sorry for her, but I'm not going down that road anymore with her.
So what was the upshot of it then?
Oh, the upshot of it was that she texts all the other girls saying that, that, you know, I shouldn't have delved so much into her personal life the way I did.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I should have left well enough alone. But as the rest of the girls texted her back and said, hold on here, Mary, you've played a very nasty trick in all of us. We all genuinely thought you were sick up here. We were genuinely going to get into a car and drive down and see that you were okay.
Yeah.
And you need a little bit of help. You know?
And then?
And that's it then. I deleted her phone, her number from my phone. I got a few nasty, nasty text messages from her, and I just asked her to kindly not text me ever again. Contact me in any way. Now, how we knew for definite it was all lies as well, there's another girl lives down there, and she's going out with a guy down in Kerry, and his mother was at Mass one morning.
Of course she was.
Yes, and she spotted her two uncles in Mass and went across to them and said,
lads.
Yeah, God, would you mind telling me, she said, how is Mary? We heard that she's not at all well. And the two uncles looked at her and said, well, she can't be too bad when she brought us to town shopping on Friday.
Oh, dear, dear. So do you have sympathy for her, or are you sick of her?
In the beginning, I was very angry because I got very upset, and I thought she was a nice girl, and I felt that I had been hoodwinked. You know, I thought I was after being fooled by her, and, you know, it's a nasty thing to do to anybody.
Yeah,
you know, we
sure.
were genuinely concerned for her. And I think, and then when I thought about it and when I spoke about it, even to my own family about it, I just said, no, the girl needs serious help. Like, and then, you know, as the rest of my friends and we all got together and we talked about, if she's capable of that, what more is she capable of? You know, this is the scary thing about it. And
so did you abandon her or did you try to help
no,
her?
No, completely walked away.
You walked away, so to hell with it.
Walked away from it because I don't get mixed up with somebody like that.
Okay.
You know, you don't know where that ends with somebody.
It can be toxic, can't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And, you know, I just walked away completely from it. But, like, unfortunately, there's people out there like that. They're so desperate for attention, yeah. So desperate for something.
That is just quite shocking. Listen, thanks for telling us that story.
Not at all. You're welcome.
Tread carefully.
I will.
All right, bye. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you, Ryan?
I'm flabbergasted by the stories I'm hearing this morning.
I know, I'm sure you are.
That people would go to such lengths for what, a hug?
It's just sympathy, just people looking for sympathy.
God, help us all. What's your scale?
My one is that my daughter had leukemia. She finished treatment back in February.
Is she okay?
Well, she is, yeah, she's fine. She's seven. She's great. Not
seven,
a bother.
The poor thing.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, my
yeah,
God, that's a tough old road.
It is indeed, but sure, they come through.
And she's okay, is she?
Yeah, she's great. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm so glad to hear that. Okay. Oh, good. And what's her name?
Her name's Ava.
Oh, little dote. Okay, that's great to hear that.
But we were on, when you know, your kid is diagnosed, you start looking online as you do. And I came across a forum on the American Cancer Association's website.
Yeah.
And it's basically you sign up, but I mean, it's quite hard to even sign up to it. I mean, you've got to give your consultants details and different things before they actually accept you on the forum.
Yeah.
But you chat with other parents that, you know, and it's a worldwide forum, so there's parents from all over the world who, you know, their kid is in the same situation as your own.
So you feel less alone in the world.
Exactly. And you're not all, here in Ireland, they don't have a great network for parents, you know, when your kid is diagnosed. So, you know, you need to, the doctors tell you so much, but, you know, as a parent, you become kind of like a momcologist nearly is what we kind of call it.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and it's just you shared your information that your kid, you know, there might be a symptom that your child has, that, you know, another child has, that, you know, the doctors wouldn't have come across before. So it's kind of sharing kind of, and a support network. But there was a lady on there as well. And, I mean, I was on the site for about 2 years at one stage. And I'd say about maybe 6 months into it, her child was about 11. And she was saying that every symptom of any illness her child just seemed to have, whereas it became impossible then. There was just no way that her child could have all the symptoms of this illness. You know, it was every week there was something, and you know, she'd have the same prayers, and you know, and it was just, and then she was going on the Make-A-Wish trip, and then Demi Lovato, who's on American Idol, was coming to see her, and there was just, it just got too much. And at one stage, then one of the actual parents was actually a nurse in a different part of America, so she's done some investigating herself just, and found out that she didn't exist, basically. But, I mean, she had led people to leave for about a year and a half, that her child is in the same situation as ours. And she knew, like, the whole protocol of the illness, which, I mean, it takes a long time to get to know the different protocol of leukemia and that.
So,
I mean, but she would have known everything. And every stage, the name of all the medication. But she turned out she was fake at the end of all that. So, I mean, it happens all the time, though. I mean, it's not unusual, you know.
How desperate and dark and dastardly.
I know, it's horrible because, you know, not only that, you kind of think back and think of many times you've wasted speaking to this person. And this is, you know, the time that you spent online talking to her and consoling her and saying, oh, I'm sure everything will be okay, and given the different things that may happen. And it's just a complete waste of time where you could have been, you know, looking after somebody genuine.
Oh, my God. I mean, the people like that should be prosecuted. Unless they're mentally ill, in which case that's another story.
Well,
I think that's
probably what it is. Yeah, I think there's definitely some sort of mental illness.
Exactly.
There.
And I'm fearful of being, you know, too overjudgmental of these people in case they are mentally ill, in which case they need to be cured, if possible.
No, absolutely. No, it's definitely, there's some form of mental illness there. I mean,
the whole story
just got just too extreme. I mean, it went on and on. She got very personal about her own life, and it just was just way too extreme, you know.
She was exposed. Do you know anything about her being caught then? Or?
No, apparently when she was exposed then she dropped
quiet.
Off her site, but apparently she'd been on a couple of different sites.
Gosh.
A couple of different cancer forums. So I wouldn't be surprised that maybe if she did at one stage have somebody in her family that maybe suffered from some form of cancer, and maybe that's why she started doing this.
With us,
I mean, I think when you're dealing with children as well, it's that little bit different. I mean, I know a cancer is awful for anybody, but, you know, I mean, the support network for, you know, when your child is going through it is that little bit just sensitive, I think, you know.
It brings us back to the social network and the dangers of anonymous.
Yeah.
And even if
they
give you a name, it's not anonymous. Even when they give you a name, it remains anonymous.
Yeah,
because
and an email address as well, though. I mean, she had everything. The entire email address, everything. So, I mean,
extraordinary.
Yeah. As I said, it's not unusual. It happens all the time.
Well, the difference is your Ava is cured and well, and this person who did this was going to probably be sick for a long time to come.
Absolutely.
doing
that's
that.
That's the reality of it, yeah.
Okay, and have you any other children?
I have one grown-up girl, 21.
Oh, sorry, so it's a little gap.
Big gap there.
Yeah. So will they both be watching the toy show on Friday?
Oh, definitely, oh, without God. A doubt, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm absolutely. So pleased. I am so, so pleased. That's my favourite news today, is that Ava's good. And
oh, no, she's great. The other she's great. End. Very special little girl.
I love school.
Oh, I love school. Yeah, absolutely. And went to see Santa on Sunday. And
what did she ask for?
Oh, Monster High yeah. Girl's mad at the moment.
They'll be featuring on Friday night.
Oh, I'm sure she'll...
Monster High.
She'll be glued to the TV.
God, I look forward to give her a big hug from me, won't
I
you?
I will indeed.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Lovely talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye. This is more prevalent than people know, says the text. Fantasists everywhere. Narcissism. That's a great word to say when you're drunk, isn't it? Narcissism. I'm a narcissistic person. You're a very narcissistic person. At its best, the arrogance that goes with their lies is shocking from a victim of one. And I suppose one on the good side, I met my boyfriend, through text. It was amazing. Whirlwind texting every minute of the day for weeks. Got to know each other very well. Fell in love on the phone, basically. We eventually met. He was at one end of the country and me at the other. And he travelled all the way to me. I was in the hospital and I rang him and he answered the phone and told me to turn around. And there he was. And we have been together ever since. Very much in love. I'm so sorry that lady has gone through that. But just want to let people know love is possible. We are so suited to each other. And I wouldn't be, and we wouldn't be without each other. Because it's love, you see. It's love.